she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Welcome into the Saturday Morning Test Drive. I'm Corey Majors, alongside David Blassingame and Timmy Pickering this morning. And welcome, Pickering.
Pickering. Doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh.
It's all good.
You're new.
I'm so new to this. I'm trying to figure it out.
It's a tough name.
Thank you very much for...
First of all, let me say that we were happy to have Corey Majors join us this morning, but I'm not sure now.
Next segment, I will be gone. So I want to let you all know that if you want to read these stories, go to autoflex.com and click on Facebook. We got a lot of great stuff to get into today, and if you want to get in on the show, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733. You can call in 877-881-1053. And I want you to be aware of buying flood-damaged vehicles. That's the one that I want you to listen in on, because I know there's some very important stuff that comes with that. You never know where your car's coming from. So keep an eye out for that one today.
We'll have that later in the show, and you're exactly right. You know, just because the floods didn't happen in Dallas, which we're all pretty darn sure they didn't, doesn't mean those cars won't hit here, because when you have those kind of cars in another part of the country, they ship them to places like Dallas because it's easier to sell them here. Up there, everybody's looking for them. Down here, nobody thinks flood. So we'll talk about that later in the show.
Okay.
Next thing you know, you got a bunch of salt water in your car.
It's ugly.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Even fresh water.
Now, the thing we got for today, though, right now, is the secret world of license plate tracking. And there's a company called Vigilant that's out there. They have all your information, David.
They do, and it's really crazy because people don't realize that they're being tracked pretty well everywhere they go. Municipalities, the federal government, states, all employ companies like Vigilant with license plate scanners, or LPSs, as they're called in the business. And these scanners scan your license plate and track you everywhere you go. Now, law enforcement uses them for warrants mainly, or to find out where the bad guys are. But I'm not sure whatever else is used, you know, wherever else the information goes. The biggest problem is there's not any rules. There's no regulation saying you've got this information. It's certainly giving private identifiable information. If they've got your license plate, they've got where you live, they've got what you drive, they've got all kinds of information that can come from that, and there's no rules as to who gets it. I mean, it's just sort of out there. And they're very secretive, these companies that track license plates, because, in fact, they have agreements with the people that buy that information not to talk to the media, because they don't want anyone to know what they're doing. And in case of law enforcement, certainly that's understandable, because if you're tracking down bad guys, you may not want the information on a certain bad guy to get back to him so he knows he's being tracked. But at the same time, what about you, Corey? Tammy? How do you feel about people tracking you everywhere you go?
Go ahead. That's so interesting as I make my trip to Target and to McDonald's and to work and to home and the grocery store. It's real exciting. I'm all about it because I'm not hiding anything. Not while I'm in my car, anyway.
Well, I'm carrying a lot of weight, like, you know, drugs all over the place. So I really don't want that to happen. That's why I need to get the bigger car.
That could be a problem.
I guess the question on that is where are the devices that track? Are they just on the road, or are they part of these, the red light things?
No, they're actually usually separate cameras that are mounted down low, down around 2 feet off the ground or so that they're about license plate level, and they are on poles. They're always attached to something very firmly, and sometimes you can't tell what they are.
I haven't noticed any yet. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled at about the 2 to 3 foot level.
This is a big brother.
We have a number of Dallas police officers that listen to our show every morning, and I know that the Dallas Police Department actually has license plate trackers, so it might be really good if they would call in or text in and talk a little bit about that and how they're used. I don't think they're going to give the locations, but suffice to say they're usually in high crime areas.
Here's how I view it. Everybody remember the Boston Marathon bombers?
Yes.
How'd they get caught? Cameras saw stuff everywhere that was going on down there, so they put it all together. So I have no problem with those scanners.
Yeah, I guess for the instances where something bad is going to happen,
abduction.
It is helpful. It is very useful. But are they also tracking just random people that are doing nothing.
They're tracking everyone. They say that about 40% of the people in the country, their information has been gathered by these different companies and held for whatever reason. You know, the other thing is, these are digital recognition machines. They're not, these license plate trackers aren't the ones that spot people on the street. Their whole deal is they read license plates and report that back to databases, and then the databases match up the owner information with open warrants, with crime, with things like that, as far as the police use it for, and that's one of the things. Now, here's the other thing. Maybe you haven't made your car payment lately. Guess who else uses these?
Companies.
Repo companies. Huh. Repo companies buy the data, and they will send these companies that gather the data a list of license plates, and then if there's a hit on one of the license plates, then they in turn give that information to the repo company, who then in turn hooks your car and takes it away.
Well, and that's useful, too, for all those companies that aren't getting paid what they're supposed to. Like, if somebody's not making their payments, you know, you clearly have to take care of that situation now. But Vigilante, from what I saw, they're saying they're not explaining all the reasons, all the purposes they're using for all this information they're keeping in their database, and they're allowed to just sell it freely?
Yeah, they are, because there's no rules. And they say that the reason they want to keep it secret is a lot of the information that they give is to law enforcement, which is understandable. But it could be to anyone. I mean, with the NSA monitoring everything everyone does, it just sort of, back to Big Brother again, you know?
I don't know. I'm not worried.
I had a situation recently where I had a headlight out on my little Scion, and I was driving home one night after work, and that morning I'd bought the headlight bulb and I was going to fix it that night, and I'm on my way home and I get pulled over by a cop, and I'm like, "Hey, I got the bulb right here. Don't worry about it." And he's like, "Yeah, but your license plates say that this is not the car that it's supposed to be." And I was like, "Oh no!" So I reached in the back and I pulled out my gun. I mean, the license plates that I'd had. I'd actually had them, and I handed them to him, and he was like, "Oh, okay. Well, you need to get these on as soon as possible." I didn't realize it was that big of a deal, but yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty clearly a big deal.
Well, and when you see these officers parked under overpasses, like in the turnarounds,
yes,
you'll see them parked. A lot of what they're doing are scanning license plates, and the old days, they were looking for state inspection stickers. That's going to be a little harder for them now.
Well, that's good for all the young people to know, because there are lessons that maybe we don't get from our parents that don't get passed down to us. And the young people out there right now, it appears that they're buying all their cars. More and more young people are buying cars on smartphones right now, David.
Yeah, in fact, the numbers are staggering. And the message, I guess, for the industry is, if you do not have a mobile technology, if you don't have a mobile site, you're way, way behind the power curve on this. The millennials have changed basically the way that everyone shops for cars. In the old days, you looked in the paper, you got some ideas. Certainly you saw things on television, you saw ads, you saw cars on television. And in the old days, like 20 years ago. Yeah.
In our day.
Yeah. people would visit an average of 5 car dealerships before they would actually buy a car.
Right.
Now they visit 1.4. And what they basically do is do all of their research online. In fact, 95% of millennials that were surveyed by Auto Trader in a survey they just released, said 95% of them went online, and that's where they did all their research. They pretty well knew what they were going to get when they walked in the door. The days of going in and driving this car and this car and this car when you're between 3 different brands, or maybe your heart's set on a Camaro, but your pocketbook may be set on something less than that. Those days are sort of gone, because people have all the information out there, and they're using their phones more and more to access that information. I was just thinking about a story I read yesterday about a guy that was selling a car to a couple, and the whole time they were sitting there, the wife was on her phone shopping other dealerships.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, while they were sitting there with him to get that car.
Wow.
So there's a tremendous...
That's a smart couple right there.
It is, actually, yes. There's a tremendous amount of information out there, and the average customer actually shops less and less time now because there's so much more information. Back 10 years ago, people spent about 17 hours shopping. Now they spend about 15 hours shopping because there's so much more easily accessible information. It doesn't take as long to get it.
Yeah, and you know, like when I was at UNT, we were looking for a car, and I would spend time in between my classes looking on my phone or looking on my computer.
Sure.
That's how I'd find my information. Now, I could visit, you know, 15 different sites in that break, and right. Then I could move on to whatever I was doing next.
Well, and I think a lot of people really sort of dread, in fact, I know they do because they tell me they do, they dread that experience when you go in and you have to spend 4 or 5 hours working with somebody just to figure out what a payment's going to be. So they really, I think one of the reasons they spend so much time online is they want to cut down the opportunity to go spend 4 or 5 hours 4 or 5 different places. Because now you're talking about taking up a couple of weekends.
Well, and David, I mean, you know, I brought in 3 kids to see you guys. You know, yeah. Like I can't just find anybody to watch my kids while I've got to go do something that's really important to the family. I got to figure out something to do there so that, you know, for families, young adults, it's a great way to save time.
Oh, it is.
You mean coming to Autoflex?
Yes, definitely.
We will streamline the process.
Make
for sure.
That's the exact. Hey, I'm going every time. Trust me on that. I had a great experience.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for whatever reason. We sort of designed it to be that way. I mean, we looked at everything that people do when they go to a car dealer, and we just cut out all of the stuff that people don't like to do. So when you come to us,
we don't like to do it either.
No, we don't.
Frankly,
I mean, who does? So when you come to us, it's sort of streamlined, and you just deal with one person, and he gets everything done for you, and then you're in and you're out. And when you have when you have 3 kiddos with you, it makes it a lot easier because it's like herding cats.
Yeah.
Those 3 kids.
Trust me. Yes, yeah. You walk in, they say, "What do you want? Here it is." Y'all go have a good time. All right, the number is 817 or 972-234-1234. Also, go to autoflex.com. Check them out on Facebook right there. We're going to talk about Save Money Mondays as well, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Corey Majors. We got David Blassingame and Tammy
Pickard
in studio right now. And we'll be back to talk about sleeker SUVs that have buyers shunning sedans. Next.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive. We've got David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Corey Majors, and we are on our way into talking about sedans, how many used cars are becoming more and more affordable to you, and how to exit your lease carefully and cheaply, because I know that can be a very complicated situation for some people, unless you're dealing with Autoflex.
Well, we just did that with Skin Wade yesterday.
Really?
Skin and his wife had a lease that they had, but it was not over yet. And we can talk about it in a second, because he doesn't mind. They had a four-door sedan, and this sort of leads into this next story we're going to do. They had a four-door sedan, and Skin needed a car, and so he got a new SUV, and he got an SUV with a third row. That was one of the big things. It needed a third row. And she drove it, and she goes, "This works so much better than my car." And they had a good car. It was a good German sedan. It was a nice car. But the configuration with kids, the configuration of that SUV, a smaller SUV, just made a lot of sense. And so they brought in that sedan, which was in the midst of a lease, and we were able to find them a car with rebates and special deals enough that we could get them out of that lease and get them into a new SUV, which is what she really, really wanted. So,
and keep it affordable.
Well, and that's actually almost the exact same situation I had with you guys. We had an Altima, which was great whenever we had 2 kids. Then we moved up to the third kid, and we had a very tight fit in the back. And my wife was like, "Need a third row. Got to get a third row."
Yeah.
We got the Toyota Highlander. Came in and said, "Hey, can we keep the payments around the same?" They're almost exactly the same.
That's right. You got that nice Highlander.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love it. And we have all the space in the world. All the space in the world in that
great.
Thing.
Makes you want to have another one?
Yeah, yes, it does.
Really?
Oh, another kid?
Another car or another kid? Because
kids.
We're done with the kids.
Okay.
We're done with the kids.
I like we have all the space in the world.
I like the way
the
Corey goes, and we moved up to that third kid. We moved up to that, like,
that is an upgrade. That's an upgrade.
But yeah, so the thing about it is it drives like a dream. It drives, I keep telling my wife, it drives just like the Altima did, but we have more space. And that's the thing we love about it.
And some of those SUVs, keep that in mind, they are on a car platform, not a truck platform. Makes the difference in the ride.
Like the same frame or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have that same kind of suspension, and that's why they can take the bumps and you're not flying. A truck is a lot bumpier that's a truck frame. You can tell the difference in those chassis. Remember the Nissan Xterra?
Yes.
It would kind of bounce you all over the place.
Real blocky,
it was a little
too.
Truck frame. Yeah. But they were fun.
So more and more these companies are starting to make sleeker sedan or sleeker SUVs that feel like cars, right?
You know, and I think there's several reasons for it, but the move is on. People are trading out of sedans and they're mm-hmm. trading them in on SUVs, especially the smaller SUVs that are more car size and give a more car-like ride, which is important.
It's a car-like ride, but with an SUV or a truck-like ground clearance, which is, you know, you're a little bit higher off the ground, which also makes it easier to enter and exit the vehicle as an adult. And certainly if you are putting kids in car seats.
You don't have to bend over.
No.
I mean, it's tough. You got to bend over, pick up the kid. Then it's nice to just make a lateral move to get him into the vehicle, would you say?
Yeah. No, it's so easy. I actually, to the point where my other kids can also climb up into it. The younger ones can still climb into it. And not having to dip down and, you know, get underneath the roof or anything like that makes it easier. Also, if you're single and you want to just pile all your buddies in and go out on the town, I mean, it's easy to do that as well. So there's all sorts of options for something like this.
Well, you know, and in the old days again, you go back to pre-2006. 2006, gasoline goes up in price. People stop buying trucks and SUVs. They just stop. And so trucks and SUVs plummet in value, and no one wants one. They're seen as gas hogs. They're not politically correct.
The days of yesterday.
Yeah. But it's a changed market now because now SUVs get great gas mileage. Honda CR-V is an example. 30 miles per gallon on the highway.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And so people are looking at that, and they're looking at these smaller SUVs, and they're thinking, okay, well, that gives me room to stack my so-and-so when I go pick it up at whatever. And I got room for all my kids, and I got a backup camera, and I got all this cool stuff that never used to be on trucks.
Right.
The entertainment systems, all the equipment, the safety equipment and the infotainment that you couldn't get on, now all of them have it. And it just makes more sense.
And
people are moving.
They're more affordable now because every car maker is making an SUV. It's not just a few. And even Porsche has gotten into the smaller SUV. You know, they had their Cayenne, and now they have the Macan. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
It's a smaller one. Audi did their Q7. They built the Q5, so they've got one, I wouldn't necessarily say more affordable, but the smaller one for the people who are single. And let me tell you how many new moms I've heard from. They have a sedan, but it's their first kid, but a couple months into that, loading the kid with the car seat, they are screaming for SUVs.
Yeah, and to be honest, the gas mileage is great. I'm getting like 24 neighborhood stuff.
Yeah.
So that's good. Great. And then when we went on a vacation, we were getting upwards of 30 while we were driving around on our vacation on
the
highway.
Great.
So that was great too. And also, for
the first time this year, SUVs are actually outselling sedans.
Really?
First time in history. Yeah, so it's a really interesting thing. And the manufacturers actually are really on the long end of this. The SUVs tend to be a little more profitable than four-door sedans do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually make a little more when they sell one, which helps them
out.
At the factory level. And the people that get them love them. I mean, our customers love them. You love them. Everybody that gets them from us does.
But let me tell you, get a backup camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your SUV.
And use it. Don't be one of those people that's like, no, I don't trust it. Because those things are so helpful. You can see exactly what's behind you. When I pull into Target, I can just pull up and say, I'm going to back right up here. And what's even better, I can pull my groceries cart down,
right
down on the side, load it all up, and then I'm out of there. And I don't even have to take the cart back. Would you mind ranking your SUVs? Do you guys have any thoughts on what your favorite SUV is right now?
Well, I can tell you, well, the way we move the units, at Autoflex, my favorite, well, I love them all. Depends on the price range. I love the Toyota Highland. In fact, that's on my list for my replacement. I have the Ford Edge now, have loved my Ford Edge, but I am ready for something a little bit different. And, you know, I've had some issues with the sync system. And if I can't use my navigation easily, why get it?
Right.
You know? So I'm going to look at the Toyota Highlander because I really like it, drive it around. I like the Acura. I like the MDX and the RDX. And they've smoothed out the ride on the RDX quite a bit.
Nice.
That's the smaller one. Now, those are, you know, a little more highline. And I still like the Ford Edge. So if I were a new person going in there, if they fixed their Sony sync, I'd be interested in another one of those. That's all midsize. We love Lexus RX.
We lease a lot of Lexus RXs. And the thing is, a Lexus RX is very affordable in a lease. That's what a lot of people look at that and they go, oh, it's a Lexus. I can't afford that. But in a lease, you can.
It's more affordable.
So it makes it a lot more affordable for a lot of people. Also, Hyundai, the Santa Fe is a great car.
For a third row seat vehicle.
Dodge Durango, again, a great car. Mm-hmm. Third row seat.
The Buick Enclave.
Yeah,
it's great.
You let me borrow one of those while you're getting ours ready.
Yeah,
that's an amazing vehicle.
Yeah, it is. It's a great car.
But like you said, affordability is really a key for all buyers, all leasers, anybody who's getting in on something right now. So things are starting to become more affordable. Used leases, used buys.
Well, here's the thing on the leasing, things are more affordable because there's better lease programs out there right now. And that's all good but on the used side, an interesting thing has happened. We are experiencing the result of free market. There's going to be 414,000 more lease returns this year than there was last year.
Why is that, Dave?
414,000 more. Well, that's because so many people leased their cars in 2011, 2012, and those 3 and 4 year leases are coming due. And that means that there will be a lot more used cars on the market. And the laws of supply and demand tell us that if there's more of them, they're going to be cheaper. Now, here's how it can work for you, and here's how it can work against you. It can work for you if you're considering buying a pre-owned car. Some of the markets on pre-owned cars have dropped as much as 11 and 12% just in the last year.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at luxury vehicles, if you're looking at four-door sedans, they have dropped rather remarkably. If you're looking at pickup trucks have maintained their value because there are more contractors doing more business, buying more pickups. So they've actually sustained that market. But if you're looking for a four-door sedan, an SUV, it's going to cost you less this year than it cost you last year as a percentage of the initial cost. So the value is going to be better in getting a pre-owned car for the next 2 or 3 years for sure.
So it's time to get on your phone and shop.
It is. But now let me tell you how it can work against you. You got a trade-in.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be worth less and less money as a percentage of the retail value, the initial value, than it is right now, next month, 2 months later, 5 months later, and next year. They're going to continue to drop in value because supply is so great. Again, 414,000 more lease returns just this year coming onto the market, more than last year. It's a huge swing. So the other thing is, when you're looking to get a car, if you're getting a new car and you're buying it, look at all the lease specials, because those cars aren't going to be worth as much because so many of them 3-4 years from now are going to be hitting the marketplace.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you're going to buy one,
if you're going to lease a car, look for those lease specials because they're dirt cheap.
But if you're going to buy one, avoid anything that they're giving away.
Yeah, look for the lease specials. Those cars they're giving away, you don't want one of those. Go to an airport and look at all the rental cars.
Okay, I'm going
to... You don't want any of them.
Okay.
Okay? You don't.
I'm going to say something that's... I don't know if it's counterproductive or not, but... if you're going to buy, you should be planning to keep it about 10 years anyway, so you don't really need to worry about the 3 or 4 year value.
Yeah.
Don't buy it if you're not planning to drive the wheels off of it. That's kind of foolish.
Right.
If you think 5 years is your term that you're looking for, well, the factory programs don't offer those leases. Guess who does? Autoflex.
There you go.
Offers it. So if you really want to be smart, then lease it for a longer period. Get one of those deals, because if it's a deal at 3 years, it's a real deal at five. You still avoid the future of resale value because you have a guarantee on the lease, but you get to ride past that 3-year cycle, have a lower payment the whole time, and then do it again in about 5 years.
Well, and the other thing is the guaranteed resale value may be really important because people that have gone out and purchased cars and they're going to be putting those cars back in the market when they trade them in, they're going to get less for them. Had they leased those cars, the resale value is guaranteed, so they just turn in the keys. They don't worry about it.
If you're not sure what to do, call us. I had an old customer call me the other day, and she said, Tammy, I know that I want to spend about this much money, and I want a Highline vehicle, but I have no idea what I want. I said, well, we can guide you towards some deals that are available. You can certainly come in and test drive everything. You know, we'll do that again just like we did last time. So that's what they are working on now. But she just knew she wanted something new, how much she could spend, and that was it.
And that's exactly, that was my exact same thing. Called David, he said, hey, here are the options for you. Catered everything to me. So that's exactly where I would go. 817 or 972-234-1234 and autoflex.com. That's what you want to get in on right there. And lots of people asking about the Wheel of Misfortune. We might get David to spin that in a minute. But David, trust me, if you spin it, you have to do whatever it is.
That custard out of here.
There's still some pudding left.
There is so much pudding left over. All right, coming up next, Tesla saying you can drive our car as long as you want, as many miles as you want. We'll talk about that next on the KNC Masterpiece. Oh, no, this is the Saturday morning test drive.
Nice. Very nice.
We're back to the Saturday morning test drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday morning test drive. Corey Majors alongside David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. And having a good morning this morning, even though I'm just trying to screw everything up for them as quickly as possible. We got a lot of very fascinating things to get into. I'm very, very interested about the Tesla 8-year infinite mile warranty, because when you put infinite as a word, it just means that, like, oh, I can do whatever I want.
Pretty well. Pretty well. Autoflex Leasing Fantext. There's a lot of Autoflex Leasing Fantext. They want to know when we're going to spin the Wheel of Misfortune. They did note that it is 9 o'clock, so people should be taking their shirts off.
Yes,
Corey has explained that to us, and Tammy is taking her shirt off now.
Hey,
what is your opinion on the Porsche SUV? It's a great car. The Cayenne is. I've not driven the Macan, but the Cayenne or the Macan, the Cayenne's a great car. I mean, it's just, it gives you the room. It's sporty. It's got a really sporty ride and drive. It's a Porsche, but it's an SUV. And it's also turned into their best seller.
Oh, I bet.
Because they're outselling everything.
SUV, it's that truck feel, but in a car feel at the same time, with the same time of suspension. But
yeah.
You got that. I think there's something about sitting in a car that you're just sitting above everybody and you can see things better.
It's better.
It's comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. When you have a sync system, you must get it updated with every oil change. We know.
Oh, that's true, really.
It is. Infiniti FX35, do you like the car? I love the car. It's a great car.
I don't even back up my iPhone.
But if I was going to get that car, I would lease it for sure. There's a great lease program on it, and the resale may not be as good as some other cars in that same area. But it's a great car. I love you, Corey, but is Sybil on break or done for good? Sybil is actually out of the country, but will be back next weekend. We miss her.
Oh, yeah. You miss her so much with me around.
Back to our survey on online buying. If Auto Trader did the survey, then of course the results are skewed toward online results. Actually, those same results, I've gone to conferences all over the country, and those are the real numbers. I mean, people are spending, 95% of the people shop online. They spend 12 to 15 hours shopping for a car online before they ever go to a dealer. They now go to 1.4 dealers. All those statistics are pretty well industry standard stuff. J.D. Power comes out with the same stuff. So it's and certainly Auto Trader has a vested interest in online shopping, and we don't actually subscribe to them, so I'll quit using their name.
David, real quick on that, I'd be very fascinated, and I want you to do a study on this now, on how, like, the sites that they go to on their smartphones and in what order and how they, you know, like, I wonder if they can track that like they do the license plates.
They can and they do. And that information is available for a price in the industry.
Wow.
Yeah, they sell that.
Okay.
It's valuable, but like you say, it's valuable information.
Yeah, because you got to know what a site looks like, why it's easier, you know, what exactly it does to help out the customer and what they're doing.
How long they stay on it.
Yeah.
Well, and the importance of a mobile site has become huge, and better companies have mobile sites and have had, or at least forward-thinking companies have. Autoflex has had a mobile site for a number of years, and it works on your phone as well as it does when you're at home on your computer, on your or you're on your laptop, or if you've got an iPad, it works beautifully there. We did that years ago because we could see that more and more people, every time you looked at someone, they were looking at their telephone, and it still works that way. So, but I discovered something really, really interesting. Automotive dealers are a great deal like sheep in certain ways. They all buy their websites from about four or five different website providers across the country. They make pretty well every auto dealer website that you'll ever see.
Wow.
The same four or five companies. Well, they didn't invest in mobile because their main money was made setting up new sites for new dealers.
Right.
So they didn't invest the R&D in mobile. And I went to a conference a couple of years ago with probably 75 car dealers in the room with me, and four of us had mobile sites. And that was a couple of years ago. Everyone should have had by then. But the reality was they all got their sites from the same providers. And that's why they all have sort of a similar look and feel, although they try to individualize them. If you look at the actual computer language, if you look at how the sites are built, they're all the same. And they just didn't have the mobile technology. Now they're starting to invest in it.
Dallas Cowboys center Travis Frederick, before he graduated, had to build an app for his degree, his engineering degree.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is I need to get with him and build an app so I can start selling it to people, right, for a car?
It's not a bad idea. Dealers, the companies that supply them, I don't know why they do that. There's a zillion website builders. We had an individual build our website in 1995, or maybe it was 92. And we're on our third website. I mean, we've redone it. But it's the same guy, and it scores really highly. That's why when you search for auto lease, we're number one just automatically, organically. The reason is it's a real website. It's got actual content. We talk about why people should lease or why people shouldn't lease, what happens at the end of the lease.
Leasing isn't for everybody.
No, it's not.
That's another thing. We lease and sell, so you need to keep that in mind.
We talk about insurance and requirements there. We talk about responsibilities at the end of a lease if you've driven the car full term. We talk about all those things on our website. Most automotive dealer sites, it's just sell, sell, sell. Come to our service department, buy our car. Come to our service department, buy our car. And that's fine, but that's really not what we wanted to do. Now, we've got a new addition to our website that'll be out sometime in September, we're hoping by early September, where we're going to have FAQ videos, frequently asked question videos, for everything, for what do I do if I have a wreck, how do I change my tire, where's the oil dipstick. We're going to have FAQs.
Dipstick.
I said dipstick.
Where's the oil?
Yeah.
Dipstick.
We're going to have videos on our site that will answer all those questions for people. So you can go to autoflex.com, click on our video library, and get pretty well any question you might have about your car answered by a video. It's like going to YouTube and trying to figure out how to install a door on your cabinet or something.
That's exactly what I did. I went to autoflex.com and I looked up the information is just right there for you. It's not like you have to go seek it out. It just pops up and answers questions that you already have. It's real easy to use. So go there, autoflex.com. That's the website right there. And also 877-881-1053 if you want to get in on the show right now. Hydrogen. Now, I've heard about hydrogen since I was a kid even. And so the thing, it's the fuel of the future, right?
Well, the media would have you believe that electric cars will be the thing that everyone's driving. But I had an opportunity to spend some time with the head of alternative fuel development for General Motors. It's been 3 or 4 years ago now. And I asked him, I said, you've got the electric car, you've got the Volt. What's going to happen in the marketplace? And he told me very, very just straight on, electric cars are not the future. Fuel cell vehicles are the future. Hydrogen cell vehicles. He said,
we've been talking about that for a long time.
Yeah, electricity doesn't scale well. So if you build a little more car or if you have a truck, you've got to have a lot more battery to power it. So the weight and the size of the battery becomes a problem. So then when you look at fuel cell vehicles, it's been a problem because how do you make that much hydrogen? How do you transport it and that kind of thing? But the University of California at Davis has just done a lot of research and figured out that hydrogen is really pretty darned easy to access, and it's not that hard to move it around. So what they are looking at now is, especially in Southern California, is setting up a network of hydrogen fuel stations, and the state of California has subsidized the setup of these stations so that you'll be able to drive a fuel cell vehicle and fill up anywhere in Southern California. The other thing a lot of people don't realize is hydrogen is the most abundant product in the world. It does not exist by itself. You have to take it out of water or out of petroleum, but it is still easily accessible. And petroleum companies use hydrogen to refine gasoline.
Oh, really?
And they have huge hydrogen production facilities and pipelines to carry it from refinery to refinery. So the distribution system is started out there, and if you look at the cost of driving a hydrogen car versus driving a gasoline car, a hydrogen fuel cell car goes a lot further on the same amount of fuel, and it's cheaper. So it doesn't pollute, it's cheaper than gasoline, and it's got a better range. And here's the other thing. You can fill up a hydrogen gas tank, 2 to 3 minutes. If you've got an electric car, mm-hmm. you're talking about an hour charge just to drive 20 or 30 miles.
And the hydrogen will actually power a truck.
Yes. Yeah, there's no scalability
problem with the battery
problems.
Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because the hydrogen fuel cells generate electricity, which drive electric motors.
And does it look like that Hyundai is going to have the first fuel cell vehicle available to the public?
Well, they've got one coming out for sale, but now Toyota and Honda are also planning on fuel cell vehicles for sale in this country next year. Actually, Toyota is selling fuel cell vehicles in Japan right now.
Right, but is Hyundai going to sell them here first, I'm wondering?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be first that. Or not, but they have now announced that they're building a fuel cell vehicle. My personal opinion, in 25 years, we'll all be driving fuel cell vehicles. They're electric cars. They're driven by hydrogen. They pollute nothing, basically. And there is once they get the scalability, the advantage of scale where they can build them cheaper than they can build them now, it becomes a great replacement for an internal combustion engine.
For me, I would see just R&D has to figure out and catch up to the idea. And then the affordability factor is really going to have something to do with that. Because I guess at some point, you know, the top tier people will have access to these pretty quickly. And they'll want it and they'll demand it. And then once that demand slides off, it'll slide and trickle down to all the other cars, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is the distribution system. You've got to have a way to have filling stations.
Right.
So that has to happen, and that will start in California and probably on the East Coast, because usually things like this start on the two coasts and move to the middle.
Well, the fact that you can fill it back up in minutes versus the whole several-hour recharge, that seems cleaner. It doesn't pollute. I mean, even making electricity pollutes the air. I don't know. It seems like the way to go, but I would say there's your investment tip, millennials.
There you go.
Buy some stock in hydrogen cell.
817 or 972-234-1234. Go to autoflex.com and check it out on Facebook. Like them on Facebook. It's the best like that you could possibly do. Let's go to the phones real quick, and let's hit up Nick and Irving. Nick, you got a question about the Tahoe, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been actually looking for a Tahoe, and the way I buy, I'm not a huge lease person, so like when I buy a car, I drive it forever.
Good.
I have a 2005 Chevy Trailblazer, so I just wanted to upgrade a little bit. But when I was looking, I ran into somebody, and they said for me to make sure it's the older Tahoe with, I think, the 460L transmission. And I was wondering if you knew when they started changing those transmissions out. And I guess kind of upgrading, but they told me that it's actually not as... durable transmission that they started putting in them?
That's, you know, a good question.
I've not heard that. I'm going to tell you the newer Tahoes have it's either 8 or 9 speed transmission, which gives you a lot of gas mileage. If you're going to keep that car a long time, gas mileage becomes a real factor over years and years. So that's on the 15. The 14s, there's very, very few 14s left out there that have not had a lot of equipment added to them, wheels and window tint and a lot of extra profit items, because the 14s have pretty well all sold out. 15s are on the ground.
But this transmission, we know who to ask. If you want to give our offices a call next week, we have a couple of connections, so we could certainly find out from them, and then we could give you a better answer. I'm sorry we don't know about when they changed out that transmission, and I'd like to know more details about it as well. So,
and then one other question. How old or how new do I have to go with a car that has a pre-existing warranty, or one that I can get a warranty? Is there like an age limit? I know there's a mileage limit.
Well, most extended warranty companies stop being affordable when the factory warranty runs out. They get more expensive, let's put it that way. So
gotcha.
If you can get a car that's still in factory warranty and still in warranty miles, it's less expensive to buy an extended warranty for
and
that
you
car.
Get a more comprehensive extended warranty that way, with very few exclusions.
And that's the thing to watch out for. Look out for the exclusions on the warranty, because those are what they won't cover no matter what. And there's a lot of differences out there in policies. Again, we'll be glad to help you with that. I'd have to do it at the office, but we've got... I guess, 5 or 6 different warranties we sell. And let me tell you, there's a huge difference in the coverages.
Mm-hmm. Not
thank
in ours.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Have a good one. 817 or 972-234-1234 and go to autoflex.com. Check that out. And hey, you can get your questions answered. All questions can be answered at those numbers right there. Coming up next, beware of buying a flood-damaged vehicle. You never know exactly where that car was before. And also, man, I can't wait to get in on this, a bacon-fueled motorcycle. Get ready for Bacon Talk on a Saturday morning, on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome in to the Saturday Morning Text Drive. Got so many texts coming in from the, Corey Majors alongside David Blassgame and Tammy Pickard. And we got texts coming in. The first text that I see, David, and I know you might be a little behind, is the evil robot dude says KNC is flexing. And is KNC up next? So, but the next texts are the ones that are more important, and that is
no. I think that's great.
The car's been replaced with a 6160E in 2007. Can you kind of explain that to me real quick?
Well, the caller that we had on the air a moment ago asked about the transmissions changed in Tahoes, and we do have the smartest listeners in the world. The old transmission, the 4L60E, it says, was through 2007. Now, this is from a texter, so I don't know this to be true, but he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
We are not supporting the opinions of our fan texters.
Yeah, but anyway, and they said they replaced that transmission in 2007 with a 6L60E transmission, and that ran 2007 through 2014. Again, they've got the new transmission in the 15.
So, gotcha. Nick and Irving, there is your answer.
There you go. Getting yes. Answers, getting knowledge. That's what you need.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, is the Toyota FJ Cruiser a good vehicle? Yeah. I love that car. They're going to quit making it next year. There is not a high demand for the car. It's one of the coolest cars with one of the biggest blind spots I've ever driven
yes.
in.
Yeah.
But it's a great car.
With a super high resale value.
Yes.
Because of limited production. And, yo, there's not a super demand as far as everybody across the board, but there's enough demand that it keeps the value of those things high.
Crazy high. In fact, it may be the highest resale value of any car out there right
and
now.
And if you get one now, because I think they're going to stop production.
Yeah. Yeah, then this is the last year.
You know those old FJ or the old Land Cruisers? I don't know. I have a neighbor that has one of the old vintage ones. Those bring top dollar because they just don't come on the market very often. So I'd say if you're looking for something to keep long term that might hold its value well, very well, and be one of those, you know, different, funky, quirky vehicles that people want later on, I think that's going to be one of them.
Let's talk a little bit about underwater cars. Now, okay. the old saying was, I'm underwater in my car. That meant you owed more money on your car than it was worth. Well, guess what? There's a lot of underwater cars right now, and they're up in the north area, Detroit, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana. They've had torrential rains up there, and they have flooded out literally thousands and thousands of cars. Now, what you have to worry about is those cars won't stay there. First of all, insurance companies will pay for them. They'll be titled salvaged or junk or flooded, and they'll go to auctions, and they'll be sold at auction as a flood car, and people will pay very little for them. At that point, the problem begins because there are very unscrupulous people that make their living taking cars like that through 3 or 4 different state auctions, getting new titles issued in another state that says nothing about salvage or flood, and then selling the car as if it's undamaged.
Oh, that's not right.
And it is not right. And let me tell you, it's a bad thing if you end up buying one of these cars because they rot.
Those are the same people that should be buried with whoever's selling the fake Ebola medicine.
Yeah, I agree. So you have to look. If you're looking at a pre-owned car, first of all, look at the title. How many states has it been through? Did it come from Texas? Did it go through 2 or 3 states really quickly, say in 2 months, 3 months? If it did, that's a huge red flag. And you can always ask to see the title on a car that you're buying, a pre-owned car. So that's the first thing. Look at the title. Pull an auto check report and look at it. You can actually go online to www.vehiclehistory.gov. They have vehicle history reports there. You can put the VIN number in. You can see the vehicle history that way. But the history is probably the number one thing to look at because those cars are moved around a lot. The title itself, look at that. Does it say salvage? Does it say junk? Does it say flooded? Does it say anything other than this is a good title? If it does, the car's worth about half what it should be. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing people don't know. They see a deal and maybe it's 25% less than it should be, and they go, man, I'm getting a great deal. No one loses money on a car. So if the deal is too good, there's a reason for it. It's not, there's always a story, by the way. If they have a big story, that's a problem.
Yeah, why they're selling it so cheap.
Yeah, yeah, that's a problem too.
Could be transferred overseas.
Look at the car for water damage. Look under the carpets, make sure there's not dirt under there. Look under the seats at the seat tracks with a flashlight. Shouldn't be rust there. If there's rust on the bolts or on the seats, on the motor, on the tracks, that's a sure sign.
Smell it.
Smell it. Mildewy cars, you can smell the mildew. It's just, if you're getting a pre-owned car, it's best to know who you're getting it from. We double-check history on everything we do. We don't, if a car's been in an accident, we don't resell it. We just don't do business like that. Double, make sure you're doing business with a good dealer and double-check everything if you're buying a pre-owned car.
Yeah, actually, if something comes up with more than one title on a car, a flag pops up on David's desk, and he goes to Jesus, that's not the one, and he sends it away. So.
No, that's sort of what happens, actually. When we're looking at buying, if you're a customer and you say, I found this car and I want it, we pull a title search on the car. We see both sides of the title. If it's got anything like this at all, we just pass. And I'll tell you, here's the problem. It's been through three states in 2 months. There's no reason that should happen. So there you go.
Now, David, I wanted to talk about the Bacon motorcycle real quick.
Yeah, you know, this is the best thing ever invented, maybe.
Bacon?
The Hormel people wanted to make bacon more exciting than it is. And so what they did was they came up with a bacon fuel motorcycle. Now, to do this, they went to a diesel motorcycle from the Netherlands. It's called a T800 CDI, and they hired scientists and said, how can we take bacon and power this motorcycle? And so the way they did it was they combined bacon grease, paraffin hydroxide, and methanol and turned it into bacon fuel. This motorcycle is headed from the bacon capital of the world, which is Hormel's offices in Minneapolis, headed to San Diego. So if you see a motorcycle going down the road and you smell bacon, really smell bacon,
it could be it.
It's it. Trust me.
David, tell me a little bit about Save Money Mondays. What's going on Monday?
Okay, every Monday we sell the cars to the public that we're going to send to auction at Tuesday if they don't sell. We mark them down, and we've got those cars for sale. You can see them on autoflex.com. Everything from a Buick Enclave we talked about to a Jeep Wrangler to a Mercedes-Benz E-Class to a Nissan Pathfinder. So anything you might be looking at, Save Money Mondays, go to autoflex.com, click on the specials, or call one of the offices and ask about the Save Money Monday cars.
And to read all these stories, all this information's out there. David has it all lined up for you. Go to autoflex.com and click on Facebook. Also, 817-972-234-1234. Autoflex.com is the place to be. Check them out right now. For David and Tammy, I'm Corey Majors. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Get on water, now I'll get on the stairs.